Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome into the Couch Potato Sports Show for our coverage of champions indoor football as your Texas Revolution are on the road to take on the San Angelo Bandits live from San Angelo, Texas. Here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your Texas Revolution Radio Network. And now it's time for the pregame show.
All right, good day, everybody. Welcome into the Couch Potato Sports Show. It's me, Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio with your coverage of your Texas Revolution as they are on the road to take on the San Angelo Bandits. This is the second trip down to San Angelo that the Texas Revolution are taking, and it's one of those games where now as you look at the season and where the Revolution stand right now, it is a vital part of the season as far as maintaining. Looking at the Texas Revolution and what they've got going on for the rest of the season, it's about maintaining as far as against the teams that you are playing, that you have to show up each and every week in order to make sure you keep your record. Right now, your Texas Revolution are pretty much in, I want to say, the driver's seat. And I say, the way I say driver's seat is that the Texas Revolution in week number one, they took on one of the better teams in the CIF with the Salina Bombers. And there's no question that the Salina Bombers are a good football team. However, in week number one, your Texas Revolution had to shake off those first game jitters and the rust and things of that sort. So they took the loss against the Bombers. Also, the Revolution also took a loss on the road to the Dodge City Law. Now, that was a game where we didn't have a kicker, where they went 2-for-8 on the two-point conversions and also a field goal attempt by Frankie Solomon Jr. that was no good. And if the Revolution go, 50% on kicking extra points, they win the football game up in Dodge City. I don't want to make it sound like it's sour grapes, but in reality, the Revolution right now should be 5-1 out on the season. So when you look at the season this year, right now, where they are sitting at 4-2, right now, I'm just gonna call it, and it's not being me being a homer. I've seen the talent in this league. The Texas Revolution are in the driver's seat, and there's a couple of reasons why. Number one is you take a look at this Texas Revolution, they have the best defense in the CIF. Out of all the teams that have played six games this year, they have only allowed 189 points a game, folks. Now, to put that in perspective, that's just over 31 points a game, and in the indoor game, that stat right there is an incredible stat. It's a stat that is hard to ignore. It's hard to look away from it. And looking at the next best team as far as who is the next best as far as giving up the least amount of points, it's the Amarillo Venom and they've only played five games. So when you look at the fact that the numbers, as far as teams that have played six numbers, the closest team are the Bombers that have given up 248. And that is outstanding as well. So you got to take a look at that. But to keep the points being scored against you as low as the Revolution have, it shows the dominance of the defense that have happened out on the football field in the 2015 season for the Texas Revolution. Now, the Texas Revolution has gone through a lot of changes, whether it's player personnel or how about the head coach. The head coach has a situation where the Texas Revolution, they let their head coach go a couple of weeks ago, and Coach Devin Wyman has to step in for Wendell Davis, who was let go. as far as that's concerned. Now, when you look at the record is 4-2 for the Revolution. This week they take on the San Angelo Bandits that are 0-5. Now, these are the kind of teams where the Revolution not just have to show up, but I think they have to maintain that gas on the pedal. Meaning that not just going out and barely getting a victory against the San Angelo Bandits. I think they have to go out and they got to bury them. I think they got to go beat them. I think they got to make the statement against the San Angelo Bandits that they played three more times this year that we are that much better than you. We are not going to let people walk all over us. Now, in the five games that the Texas Revolution have played, or the six games that the Revolution have played, with that 31 points, the San Angelo Bandits, when you take a look at this football team, this is a team that the Revolution had a hard time beating. And when you have a team that comes and puts themselves in a position where they are giving up a lot of points, they're giving up over 50 points a game, and the Revolution, when you take a look at what they've done offensively, they've scored 276 points. Now, that's not the best in the league, but it's best for third. And that means that the offense is chugging along, and the Revolution proved to the San Angelo Bandits that they were a better, superior team. There were some turnovers out on the football field when they played the San Angelo Bandits last time. So the Revolution have cut down on those turnovers as far as that's concerned. And when you look at the quarterback position for your Texas Revolution, you have Robert Kent has only thrown three interceptions this season. And two of them were just in this last game. So in the first five games, Robert Kent has only thrown one interception. That's almost unheard of as well in the indoor game. So you're looking at the Texas Revolution. You're looking at the San Angelo Bandits. They're two teams on the different perspectives. However, that being said, those are the kind of games that when teams have nothing to lose is when they will sneak up on you. And it's hard to beat a team three times in a season, never mind four. And that's the amount of times that the Texas Revolution are going to be taking on the San Angelo Bandits this season. So when you look at that, four games, the Revolution want to sweep all four games. And that is a tough task to go regardless. And San Angelo, they make a change at their head coaching position. Joey Longoria is going to step down from the head coaching position. He's going to still be on the defensive side of the ball. However, on the other side of it is going to be head coach Wendell Davis, the same coach that the Texas Revolution let go a couple of weeks ago. And so if there's anybody that knows the Texas Revolution, that would happen to be one Wendell Davis. So when you look at that situation and how that's playing out, that's an interesting thing to look at as we go into this game. As Wendell Davis, you know, if anybody knows us any better, he's going to be able to come up with a game plan. If he knows the weaknesses of the team, he knows where they can go ahead and try to exploit, you know, things that the Revolution don't do well. So that's going to be an interesting game. So the head games, the matchup, the head coach that took over for the coach that was relieved of his duties meets the team, and the coach that was relieved of his duties just a couple of weeks ago. So that's the big story going on this week here as the Texas Revolution are taking on the San Angelo Bandits. Again, your Texas Revolution, they are in second place in the CIF Champions Indoor Football. They are behind the Dodge City Law, which is the team that the Revolution should have gotten that victory from, but they are standing at 5-1, your Revolution at 4-2. The Bombers in Wichita Force are at 4-2 on the season. However, the way the numbers work out as far as figuring out who's in first, second, and third, and fourth via the CIF, that's what they're saying the Revolution have the second place spot. So, Dodge City, Texas, Salina Bomber, Wichita, those are your top four teams that were fighting. Now, you got two teams on the outside looking in to try to make the playoffs. That'd be the Amarillo Venom. They are 3-2 on the season. And then the Sioux City Bandits are 2-3 on the season. They are not completely out of it as far as that's concerned. Some other CIF news, the Omaha Beef, they do get the victory last week, and that was a big-time victory for this franchise. And I say that because the Bandits are a pretty good football team, but in the end results of that is the owner's wife passed away after that game. Not like right after it, but like within 24 to 48 hours from what I am told. So our thoughts and prayers will go out to the Omaha Beef as they move on in the season and try to improve on a season that has started off kind of rough for the Omaha Bandit or the Omaha Beef. And when you think about the Omaha Beef and their tradition, they have a great fan base up there. So that fan base shows up regardless what the record will be. So after that situation, the Gladiators, if you get an opportunity to get over into Facebook, we have a group over there. It's called Champions Indoor Football Players Meet Fans Group. That's where we got players, fans, media such as myself, and owners, and all in the group talking about the CIF. If you get the opportunity, head on over there, because I put up a post last week as the Gladiators were taking on the Dodge City Law, and I said if the Dodge City Law don't go up there and take care of their business, they could get a surprise, and I'm talking about a surprise of the Gladiators coming out with a victory. However, the Law do, but they squeak out of Duke City against the Gladiators. They only won that game by 4 points. So the Gladiators did exactly what I thought they would do. They were going to be in the game, and if they didn't win it, it was going to be darn close. And whether it was turnovers by the Dodge City Law, whether it was the Gladiators who put some points up on the Dodge City Law, somehow that game was going to be very interesting as the game moved on. And it sure did, and it went down to the final minutes of the game, and that was some exciting stuff that was going on. So I just real quick uncovering some of the things that are happening in the CIF. What we're going to do now here on the pregame show is we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, it's going to just take a look at some of the stats of what we're seeing out on the football field for your Texas Revolution. So we'll do that on the other side of the break here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your Texas Revolution Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Melody, and I'm here with appliance tips so simple, even a 9-year-old can do them. Make sure you rinse the food off your plates before putting them in the dishwasher. Food will gunk up the dishwasher and clog the sprayers. If you need help, call my daddy, Tyler Atkins, at A-Plus Certified Appliance, 972-890-5014.
Stop in to the Boardroom Salon for Men this week and kick back and relax while you receive a great haircut and enjoy an ice-cold beer. Our professional team will make you look and feel your best, while the old-world ambiance will take you back to simpler times. Visit the Boardroom in Allen and click theboardroomsalon.com. Stop in, relax, look great. The Boardroom Salon, the ultimate relaxed grooming experience for men.
This is Sonny Clark, radio voice of your Texas Revolution, telling you to stop on by the Boardroom Salon for Men in Allen, located at Waters Creek at Montgomery Farms in Allen, Texas. Or give them a call at 972-649-6945.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lee Ligon with Ligon Chiropractic and Wellness. I am a fourth-generation Texan, and I grew up right here in Dallas. I then went on to Parker College of Chiropractic and got my doctorate in chiropractic in 1997. I've worked on rock stars, on actors, on politicians, professional athletes, young gymnasts, all the way up to 300-pound linemen. If you've been suffering from any kind of pain, neck pain, back pain, anything like that, or have any questions, I invite you to come on down to my office, and let's sit down and talk about it. I offer a free consultation, and let's see if I can help you. Dr. Lee Ligon, Ligon Chiropractic and Wellness.
$5 foot long? How about a $5 24 foot long? Cece's Endless Pizza Buffet is $5 for a limited time. That's all the pizza, salad, pasta, and dessert you can eat for just $5. Cece's Endless Pizza, endless value.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back into the Couch Potato Sports Show. It's me, Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio, with your coverage of Champions Indoor Football and your Texas Revolution as they are getting ready to take on the San Angelo Bandits. And this was a game this year, as the first game that happened, we saw a lot of turnovers, we saw a lot of mental mistakes, we saw a lot of things that normally have not happened within the last 3 to 4 weeks for the Texas Revolution actually play itself out on the football field. Now, whether that was the head coach, whether that was the team, whether that was the mental set situation, they were not set in the right position. Either way, it didn't matter. The Revolution did get the check mark underneath the W in the win column. However, they had to fight for that. So as the Revolution go on down, you take a look at some of the numbers, you take a look at some of the teams that are going on with Wendell Davis, now the head coach of that football team, that makes this game a very interesting thing as we go into this game. So that's going to be huge. But let's take a look at some of the stats for the Texas Revolution as they go into this game, as they Revolution have had a great season. Let's talk about some of the first downs. We have been taking a look at 108 first downs for your Revolution. They're averaging 87. I marked at 18 a game. So when you look at the other side, the opponents have only scored 87 first downs on them and only 14 and a half per game. So when you look at it, and the rushing, they got 35 of them, 5.8 are via the rush, and then passing the football 10 times a game on average, they have 60. So when you look on the other side, as far as the opponents rushing the football, 23 first downs via the rush, an average of only 3.8 a game, which tells you something about that defense. You don't run on this defense. And then as you take a look as far as passing, 51 via passing, that's only 8.5 a game. That is huge. Now, via penalty, the Revolution have gotten 13 first downs via penalty, and that's only 2 a game. So that means they're really working it out. Same thing on the other side for the opponents, only 13 via penalty. So, but sometimes when those first downs happen, they come at vital parts of the time of the game. They kill drives. And so the Revolution, even though that number is quite low, it's only 2 first downs being given up each and every game via penalty, they still have to take care of that, as the Revolution are one of the most penalized teams in the league, as they have 65 penalties against them this season, and that's an average of 10.8 penalties a game. That number has to come down as far as being a disciplined football team. It started last week, as the Texas Revolution only had 7 penalties. So the first game they were still up there under Devin Wyman. Under the second, they have dropped down to 7, which is a good outing for the Revolution. The opponents, 47 penalties, and that's an average of 7.8 penalties a game for the opponent against your Texas Revolution. Looking at some of the just numbers that are out there as far as rushing, the Texas Revolution, 125 rushes. They're averaging only 20 yards a game. The however on that is when you look at the other side as far as passing is concerned. As far as the Revolution, they are 150 for 1,072. So the average for the Revolution are huge. So when you look at the Revolution as far as rushing, you would like to see more, because other teams are rushing the football, but they're not getting anything as far as taking on the Revolution. Against the Revolution, rushing the football, 92 rushes for the season, and they are only averaging, get this number, folks, rushing the football, 15.3 yards a game. Now, folks, That's not a good defense. That's a shutdown defense against the run. You are not running on the Texas Revolution. And rushing touchdowns for the season, if you're going to do it, it's only going to be one time a game that you're going to get in for a rushing touchdown against the Revolution. The Revolution are averaging 2.5 times getting in the end zone via the rush. So, huge on the defensive side of the ball, you don't run against this team. It just doesn't happen. When you're only giving up 15 yards a game rushing the football, you are dominating defensively, especially on that defensive line, which is where most of the rushing attempts happen. Looking at passing, let's go back to that just a little bit so you know what's going on. As far as the Revolution are concerned, they passed for 1,072 yards. That's an average of 178.8 a game. Opponents have only thrown for 932 yards, 155 yards a game. So the difference, those 20 yards make a big difference, especially in the games as far as the Revolution are concerned. They're averaging 25 passes a game, and the completions are adding up to 16.8 yards on average for the Texas Revolution as they move there. So, like I said, only three interceptions this year for Robert Kent. Passing touchdowns for Robert Kent is 22. He's averaging 3.7, so close to four touchdowns a game, and then rushing the football, they're averaging close to two. So they're averaging about five touchdowns a game at least, 35 points that way, and then they get special team scoring as well, defensive scoring. It is really huge. So total offensive yards for the Revolution, 1,542 yards, and on the other side, opponents have only total yards 1,205 yards against the Revolution. So 270 plays have been called by the Revolution on the offensive side of the ball for your Revolution. The Revolution, three fumbles on the season. Other teams, opponents, seven fumbles out on the football field. Lost fumbles, a huge number for the opponents. So we talked about the penalties. The penalty yards, listen to the penalty yards. The Revolution, penalty yards-wise, have given up 461 yards in penalties compared to opponents only giving up 344. The Revolution are averaging 76.8 yards on the penalty yards each game. The opponents only 57.3. So you're right there, close to 10 yards more game in penalties that the Revolution are getting down. Now, looking at this is an interesting stat as I looked at it. The Revolution on third down are 26 of 53. They're 49% on third down conversions. But here's the thing. On fourth down, they are 8 for 14. They are 57% on fourth down. That is a huge number. As for the other side, for third down conversions, opponents are 15 of 51. That is only 30% on third down conversions that teams are converting against the Texas Revolution. And they other teams are 4 of 12 on fourth down conversion, only 33.3%. conversion rates on fourth down. So the Revolution definitely defensive right there. As the Revolution have 13 sacks up on the season, they're averaging 2.2. Other teams, sacks, only four sacks on Robert Kent this season. Those are huge numbers when you take a look at it. Let's take a quick look at the offensive side of the ball as Robert Kent is 100 for 158 yards, 1,093 yards. He's also rushed the ball for 85 yards as well. 21 touchdown passing and rushing the touchdown. He has scored three times, so 24 touchdowns for Robert Kent, three interceptions as we talked about, and one fumble. Darius Fudge, he has rushed the ball 69 times for 247 yards. He's caught 16 passes for 154 yards. He has eight rushing touchdowns and three receiving touchdowns as well. Looking at other players on the offensive side, Ronald Gadeen, he has five rushes for 17 yards, 14 receptions for 143 yards, and six touchdowns. However, that doesn't lead the league as far, or the team as far as the Texas Revolution are. It's Brett Reese that is handling most of that. Rushing the football 13 times for 29 yards, but 34 catches for 424 yards. He has one rushing touchdown, but nine receiving touchdowns. So 10 touchdowns for Brett Reese, who's going to be a guest right after our break. We're going to bring in Robert. We're going to go ahead and bring in Brett Reese for a quick interview. So other ones, Jordan Brown, 15 rushes, 91 yards. He has two touchdowns, and he has one receiving as well. Eight catches, 59 yards for Ronnie Cooper, just joined the team. Seven catches for 70 yards for Jenkins. Three catches for 11 yards for Jeff Willis. By the way, just to let you know, Jeff, the stat for Jenkins, he does have a touchdown. So the defense is huge. As you take a look at DeMario Dixon, leads the league with 12 tackles for loss for this football team, as well as sacks. He has 10 sacks out on the season. The CIF is saying differently, but I trust the Eli Bill Cerna as far as that is concerned. So for the Texas Revolution, Frankie Solomon Jr., he has 10 pass breakups this season, as well as 28 tackles. That's three more than Roger Stewart. Roger Stewart has 25 tackles for loss for Stewart, two. One fumble recovery for him as well. And the Revolution's Frankie Solomon Jr. has three interceptions out on the season. So some good numbers there for the Texas Revolution as they move in and week out. So when you take a look at it, Garrett Palmer, he is 4 of 10 for kicking field goals for the Revolution. So that has to improve, and he knows that. So, but as far as kick returns, Frankie Solomon Jr.'s 25 kick returns for 457 yards. That's an average of 18.3. And he also has one touchdown kickoff return that he put up against the Wichita Force this past year. So, this past week. So that is it in a nutshell as far as your Revolution and their stats are concerned. What we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to bring in our special guest. It's wide receiver Brett Reese here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your Texas Revolution Radio Network.
I have one customer said, if we know it's going to be difficult, we know it needs to be done fast, they're going to call Executive Press.
Every employee here is the face of our company. We're able to help our clients go from the design phase of their project all the way through printing and mailing so that they're able to reach their target market. We work very hard on making sure that we get our clients' jobs out on time, with good quality, and at a competitive price.
We want our customers to feel like we are their print partner, and we are. Their job is just as important to us as it is to them.
This is Sonny Clark, radio voice of your Texas Revolution, telling you to stop on by Executive Press, located at 1400 Presidential Drive, Suite 110, located in Richardson, Texas. Or give them a call at 214-217-7000. That's 214-217-7000. And tell them Sonny sent you.
I'm Professor Burke from Farmers Insurance, and this is 30 Seconds of Smart. So you want to save money on your auto insurance? Get an alarm, drive less,
that's it,
graduate, bundle policies, don't get pulled over, make automatic payments, beep, boop, beep, beep, boop, and of course, talk to Farmers. Because the more you know about auto insurance, the more you can save.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Get smarter about your insurance at Farmers.com.
How would you like the opportunity to get your business in front of 1 billion people each month? I'm Fred with Fred Schatz Photo and Video, and I help business owners like you get your message out through YouTube. Statistics show that 1 billion unique visitors search YouTube each month. But if you don't have a video for your business or your service, then you won't be found. When you're ready to harness the power of YouTube, give us a call at Fred Schatz Photography and Video, and we'll help get you and your business in front of those billion people.
This is Sonny Clark, the radio voice of your Texas Revolution, telling you to stop on by Fred Schatz Photography, located on the web at www.fredschatz.com, or give them a call at 469-718-9749. That's 469-718-9749.
Golden Corral versus Seafood Sticker Shock. At most seafood restaurants, the real catch is the price. Not Golden Corral, Seafood Spectacular. Dinner's just $11.99. New crispy fish tacos, endless jumbo shrimp, non-stop teriyaki glazed salmon, plus bone-in catfish and hand-breaded calamari. Looks like Golden Corral wins again. Golden Corral, the best buffet in the USA.
And welcome back into the Couch Potato Sports Show and our pregame show, where I have online our special guest this week. It is the guy that is actually killing it out on the football field for your Texas Revolution. And it's what we need at the wide receiver position, a 6'2", 205 wide receiver. It's Brett Reese. How you doing, Brett?
I'm doing good, Sonny. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking the time talking to us a little bit. Now, you come from Wichita Baptist University. A lot of people don't know where that. I'll be honest. I have no clue where that is. Let's go a little bit. Let's go back there. Where is this located? And talk a little bit about your school.
Yes, sir. It's a little D2 school in Arkansas. It's in the southwest, about an hour northeast of Texarkana and our southwest of Little Rock. It's on I-30. If you blink, you'll pass it.
I've lived in many towns like that. If you blink, you pass it. I understand. But all great American Conference wide receiver. He also played with the former head coach of this football team. And it's kind of interesting what's going to happen this weekend. I don't even know if you know it. Head coach Wendell Davis, who was let go here, you're going to meet in the game against the San Angelo Bandits this week. So, did you know about the hire? And second of all, how do you go about that? Is that an advantage you? Is that an advantage him? What do you think?
Man, it's crazy. We actually found out this morning. John posted it on the team board we have on Facebook, and all the players kind of looked at it, and we were just kind of astonished, you know, that our old head coach is now going to be coaching against us. And it's crazy because we played them three times here coming up. So it's an advantage to us because we know how he coaches. We know his coaching style, things like that. But it's also an advantage to him because he knows all the players here. So it's a little double-edged sword on that one.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if there's going to be any scrambling this week, especially with the change, if we're going to see some different looks, different takes. But like you said, this is a year that is really good for you as far as what you're doing out on the football field so far. I mean, we're talking about 9 touchdown receptions, and that is huge. You got a rushing one, by the way, as you grab that fly pattern across, which I love that play, by the way. So is looking at the success that you're having, where is that coming from? Is that coming from coaching? Is that coming from chemistry? Is that just something that you're developing with your quarterback, Robert Kent?
Man, it's just an all-around team effort. The offensive line blocks, Fuzz and JB are running the ball well, so the East team has to respect that. We have Coop, who scored a couple of touchdowns, and Ron, who's doing really good as well. So we have a well-balanced team. We have to every team has to respect everybody on the field, so it's just one of those times where after my numbers called, you just got to make a play.
Now, what's hard from going from the football field that you play on, the regular 100 yards, then the 10-yard end zone, 50 yards across, to what you're playing on now? I mean, the windows are obviously a lot smaller, but what I've seen is you're getting behind the defenders, and you know Robert Kent is recognizing when it's happening. It's almost flawless for you guys out there.
Yeah, so he's doing great. I actually got to play with him a little bit in San Antonio last year when I was there. But as far as going from outdoor to indoor, it's definitely a big change. But at the end of the day, it is still football. And when the ball's thrown, you got to catch it.
Yeah, and you got it. And it could be a rocket. It could be the floater. And I think that's the difference. You're getting more rockets, you know, in this league probably compared to the other ones because those windows are small. They close a lot faster too. So you got to get in there, and that is huge. Let's talk a little bit about your family and what you got going on in your personal life. And not only you play football, I'm sure you probably got an outside job before you even go in. And then a little bit about your family. Let's talk a little bit about what you got going on outside the football field.
Yes, sir. I actually work at Microsoft in Frisco at the Stone Bar Mall. Sometimes I'll go after practice, like days like this. I'm actually off from both jobs. It's kind of relaxing just to hang around. But, definitely it's really fun being able to do multiple things because at the end of the day, there's life after football. So it's good to have a backup plan. Whenever football is done, as far as my family goes, man, I have an awesome supporting cast. As far as my family goes, my little brother, he looks up to me. I'm pretty much his biggest hero. So it's really good just to have him look up to me. I play as hard as I do for him because he wants to be like me. And my quote to him is, don't be like me, be better. My mom, my dad, they come up to all the home games. My sister actually hasn't got a chance to see me play for a while, but she came these past two home games, so it was good to see them. I mean, it's really good to having my family around all the time because you're not always able to have your family come watch you play, so I'm definitely blessed in that department.
Absolutely. Now, let's go back a little bit, you know, and it's a couple of weeks of when you go on the road and you don't have your kicker. I'm telling them, you're not going to make the excuse. I know you won't. But I'm telling you now, the Dodge City Law don't win that football game if we have a kicker. That's just the way that it happens. You don't go 2-for-8 on two-point conversion and Frankie trying to kick a field goal. You know, when you have a kicker, our kicker's halfway decent. We could have got enough to win that game. But you're sitting at 4-2 this season. You played three of the better teams. You started off on Salina. That's, you know, getting the rust off, that's getting the nervous, but the game and the Law. And then this past game against the Wichita Wild, or Wichita Force, I'm having a tough time with that one. That was probably the most physical game that we have seen so far this year out on the football field between two football teams that both have a defense. So I think it was an advantage you of having such a great defense that you get to practice with to be able to go out on the football field to prepare for the Force.
Yes, sir. We have the best defense in the league, so being able to practice against them every day, they definitely get us better, and we feel like we have the best offense as well. So they get better by us, and we get better by them.
Yeah, that's something there. Go a little bit, and I'm going to throw some names out there. I want to get your opinions about, you know, people that you see every single day. As far as they may not be on your side of the ball, but they might be even in the coaching. Let's first start with Jen Welter.
Yeah, she's really energetic. Every morning at 5 o'clock, she's in there asking guys how they're doing. She brings a lot of experience as well. I mean, she's played professional football longer than I have, so you also you got to take lessons from her. What she's telling you, she's seen things that I haven't seen, as well as all of our defenders who actually play defense. So when she talks to me, listen, because at the end of the day, she's a coach and she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, that I think it is such a different kind of coach that you obviously have gone through years and years of coaching. You get a different kind of coach, you get a different perspective, and one thing that I know is that Jen will get in your face.
She will. She's not afraid of you. I'm gonna do that.
She's huge. Let's go now. Let's talk a little bit about your head coach. I mean, Devin Wyman. I mean, a guy that, you know, really, he started off the year kind of, some people would say he was probably the head coach anyway, just because of his presence.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he's definitely done a great job. I'm proud of him. He took over when Coach Davis left, and he's done a great job. I mean, he took control of the team. We're following him. It was actually really crazy. Before the Wichita game, he bent a frying pan with his bare hands before the game and pregame.
Wow.
So everybody kind of grabbed the frying pan afterwards and was like, oh my gosh, he actually did this. But he's a man of faith, so every day after practice, and before games, and after games, we always pray. He's leading the prayer, so as a man of faith, we definitely follow him in that department as well.
Definitely. Now, you got a guy that, you know, played in the NFL for years. He steps in as the offensive coordinator. We're talking about Terry Glenn. What is he being able to bring to you as a wide receiver, obviously, since he has played that position before?
Yes, sir. It's actually a blessing to be able to be coached by somebody who's been where you're trying to go. He knows a lot. He's been around a lot. He's known people who have played in the league for years. Especially him playing receiver is definitely good to be able to be coached by somebody who's done it for such a long time. We went to his house the other day to break down film, and he had like all his Dallas Cowboys stuff and all that at his house. It was really cool. Just seeing the places he's been and knowing that's where you want to go.
Right. Well, heck, the guy invited me over. I don't even know the guy. He's like, come on over. We'll watch some film. And I'm like, he's much different than what you would think. And it's kind of interesting. We heard a great story, and I wanted to get your take up on it. At a practice where you had six players actually get saved after practice.
And that was awesome.
That had to be really an emotional emotional situation at that time.
Yes, sir. We had guys crying afterwards, and just because the faith in our team is so strong, you just feel the Holy Spirit at practice that day while coach was talking, everybody was together. That was one of, I'll probably say, the best moments as a football player I've had, just to seeing how many people were brought to Christ from the sport I love to play. It was awesome, man. It was awesome. I really can't explain how that felt. It was just one of those moments I really can't describe.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I hear the story, I'm like, what? Wow, that's crazy. Because
yeah.
I've been a part of professional sports for many, many years, on the outside looking in, but been in enough locker rooms to know that, you know, that kind of thing normally doesn't go on. You got a definitely different type of, you know, football atmosphere playing for the Texas Revolution probably than anywhere else that you played, I imagine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So looking into what's going on this week, I mean, you get past the tough teams. That part's done. Now, what do you got to do to motivate yourself? Let's be honest. We're talking about a team. Well, I know what you're doing this week. I mean, you got your coach on the other side. I mean, but going into that game when he wasn't there, what do you got to do to get motivated for a game? Because really, you look at that team, unfortunately, they're 0-5. We beat them up. They made a game of it from your mistakes, you know, and things of that sort. What do you got to do to motivate yourself for a team that may not be as good as you, but you got to go out and play 100% every single time? What motivates you to get going for a game like that?
Just the overall goal of winning a championship. You can't take any team lightly. If you can't play down to another team's level just because of their record. I've been a part of teams that were bad record-wise, but played tough teams the best all year. So you can't take any team lightly. We got to take each week, every game, as if it's a championship game.
Exactly, and I think you guys got a taste of that against the Gladiators. I mean,
I mean,
everybody was happy it was the Gladiators. Let's be honest. I mean, you know, new franchise kind of, not really, you know, but boy, they kind of stuck it to you. They took advantage of some things, and they almost got into those end zones. I mean, they were in the red zone, you know, three of the first four times they were down there, you know, had the ball. So, you know, getting with a team like that, it's something about the mentality that you've got to take out on the football field. So when you look at the franchise itself as a whole, you've got Tim Brown down, you know, from the Hall of Fame. You got Terry Glenn. I mean, I don't know. Have you been coached up as much as you have with NFL experience sitting out on that football team?
Man, it's crazy. I've actually never been a part of an organization that has this much NFL experience as far as coaching-wise. In college, I was coached by Willie Green.
Receiver, I
know him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, receiver for the Denver Broncos. So as far as NFL experience, that's the most as a coach I've been coached on. But as far as overall, this is the most I've been a part of.
Definitely. So we kind of joked a little bit about the road trips and the bus and everything. You know, that's something. So to give people an idea, folks, this is a bus. I mean, those seats don't recline very much. Right now I think Greyhound even reclines a little bit more than these things. That being said, I mean, that's a long trip, and you're about ready to go to San Angelo, then you're going to go ahead and go to Amarillo. It's 6 hours.
Oof.
What do you got to do when you get off the bus to get ready for a game?
You just got to stay focused. I mean, yes, it's a long road trip, but at the end of the day, you're there to play football and take care of business. It's a business trip, as you normally say. So we're not there. We are there to have fun, but at the end of the day, you got to take care of business. But those buses are not comfortable, but you just got to make do what it is.
Make part of business that you don't like is the bus ride, and then you try to get in and enjoy what you do for the fun of it. You take a look at it. So I was thinking about this is when I was, you know, kind of looking at what we were going to talk about and things of that sort. You know, where you've been, you know, at Allen Event Center. I heard, and I wasn't there, that Dodge City Law was a nice place to play. Getting these stadiums, I mean, and I know you played in the AFL. What's one of your favorite places to play as far as the indoor game is concerned?
Well, I one of the coolest places I went was when I was up with the San Antonio Towns last year. We went to Portland and played the Portland Thunder. And we actually played where the Blazers play. So, like, you had, like, you walking down the hallway into, like, the locker rooms, and you saw, like, all the history of the Trail Blazers, like, Scottie Pippen and all that stuff there, like, championships. And so getting actually to play where, like, NBA players play, like, in New Orleans, we played where the Pelicans play, and in Arizona, we played where the Phoenix Suns play. So, like, being able to play in those type of stadiums was pretty cool. Dodge City Stadium was really nice as well, though.
Right. It is really interesting that, you know, we, as far as radio are concerned, we get to the stadium hours early. I mean, even before even the players do. And, you know, kind of getting a feel of players as they're walking in, you can kind of tell how people are. But I'll tell you, when you guys put on the helmet and it's 45 minutes before, and that 45-minute, you know, time in between an hour and 45, depending on when you guys actually take the field. I heard someone say, you know, it right before this Wichita game, we don't lose at home. And the leader on the defensive side, I think it was probably Dixon, if I'm not mistaken, who was given the chant. Yeah, first of all, who was that? And second of all, what was said, you know, when you're about ready, and this is before practice. Forget the game. I mean, you see all that, but this is right before the practice out on the football field. Who first of all, who does it? And second of all, what was he saying?
And as far as pregame chants go, I mean, Fudd talked about it a lot. Frankie talked as well. Dixon, at that point in time, he was the one saying that we don't lose at home, as well as Coach Wyman. Coach Wyman was talking about it as well. It's one of those things you never want to lose in front of your home fans, because those are the people who take the most care of you. So it's you always try your best to win at home.
I think when I seen that, it wasn't time for business before kickoff. It was time for business at practice before kickoff.
Yes, sir.
And I think that's a big difference. I mean, I've seen, a lot of professional teams, but I've never seen that kind of thing happen before you go out and practice. That means when you're about ready to go out and practice and get ready, take it seriously, be ready to rock and roll, you know, even at that time, so you can be ready in case your number's called if you're not starting. So I guess that's the next question. Looking at this football team, you got guys, unfortunately, that don't hit the field as much. What I've seen last time in San Angelo is guys helping each other. I mean, you got a great coaching staff. Let's be honest. I mean, but when I went into the back in those games, and I've seen it also at the Allen Event Center, you guys coach each other as well. I think that I find really impressive about that is no one takes offense or thinks someone's digging at them. Everybody takes constructive criticism pretty well on this team.
Yes, sir. We, like you said, we all coach each other. We all see different things that somebody else might not see. And so you never want to take anything personal when somebody's talking to you about what you do. At the end of the day, we're all trying to make each other better. We all want to win this football game. So whenever somebody says something to me, like if Robert Kent's telling me how to run a route specifically, I'm going to listen to him because he's the one throwing me the ball. So
you
definitely don't want to belittle anybody when you're talking to him because he's your teammate, he's your brother. That's who you're playing for. So whenever somebody's talking to you, you definitely want to listen.
Betcha. Two more questions, I'll let you go out there. First of all, who's your favorite superhero out there?
Oh, man, favorite superhero?
Yeah, superhero. The theme this year, as it's going to go towards the end, is going to go to superhero. So I'm assuming they're going to probably instill that probably somewhere. So looking at this, I mean, I don't know. In the age of video games, which I don't play, and the new video games that they're making, you know, superheroes even better when I was a kid. I mean, we looked at them in a comic strip and very, very bad TV. And so now you get them in video games. You got everything, you know, anything and everything that you can catch them on in the movies and stuff like that. So which one's your favorite one out of them all?
Man, okay, so my favorite a TV show growing up was Captain Planet. So I'm definitely going to have to say Captain Planet. He was he's a great guy, protected the ecosystem, so I'll say Captain Planet. Old school.
Very old. That is old school. I'm impressed. I'm impressed because, you know, that falls right in line. And looking at where, what's the thing that you do off the, you know, what do you do off the field? What are your hobbies? What do you do any other sports? I mean, I don't know what your family is. Is your family that off the field more, or what's your favorite thing to do off the field?
Mostly play video games, I'm not going to lie. I'm definitely working for Microsoft. You get to play Xbox a lot,
yeah.
So that's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Also, me and Roy, we hang out a lot because we're roommates, and we went to college together. I'm also going to be in his wedding in September, so we're really good friends on and off the field. So we hang out a lot. And we normally play Call of Duty a lot. That's what we play.
Now, with you working with Microsoft, is there anything that you do that someone would be recognizable of what we do on a daily basis with the computer? Are you involved with any of the stuff that we would normally do on a regular basis or even play a video game? What do you do as far as Microsoft is concerned?
I'm a salesman, so I'll sell phones, Xbox, computers, things like that. But I also know how to fix different things, like when people come up to the store, like different problems with the computers or the phone or the Xbox. I generally know how to fix them. I don't know all the in-depth things, but I know the general fixes.
Got it. Very good. So next time my computer breaks, I'm taking it. I got me some serious, antivirus stuff going on, but, you know, sometimes the dang thing don't want to work, so I'm bringing it to Brett Reed. Brett, thanks for your time, and thanks for joining us here a little bit here on the pregame show as we get ready to, you know, hit the road and take on San Angelo. You've been down there but once before. That's pretty good for you as well. You're kind of familiar with about where you're going to go today.
Yeah, just a little bit. I've only been there once, so I'm not too familiar with it, but being there once, you kind of have it, you have a good idea what's going on.
Well, my understanding is there's going to be less dirt and less dust. That's my understanding.
I hope so. Anyway. I hope so.
Well, that's what it is. I remember you caught one, you hit the dasher board. I saw more dust than I did your helmet. So
I think
they got that figured out down there. But, I kind of give them a little rib. But I love places like that. That's kind of vintage, you know.
It's more
about the fan in that kind of stadium, more so than the skyboxes and luxury boxes as well.
Yes,
definitely. So you bet. So good luck to you this week. Go out there and knock them down, catch about three more touchdowns, and make your way to the championship. I think you guys are on your way.
Yes, sir, that's the plan.
Yeah, definitely. He is Brett Reese. He joins us here on the Couch Potato Sports Show in the pregame show, followed up also on our halftime show here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your Texas Revolution Radio Network. When we come back, it's going to be the Eagle Eye, Bill Cerna.
Hi, my name is Holt McCallany. I'm an actor in films and television. I had to design a website, and I hired several different companies. I was never happy with any of the work that they did until I found Internet Marketing Images. They're very competitively priced, and they can handle all of your social media for you. So whether you're in sales, or it's a corporate account, or you're a celebrity that just doesn't have time to always manage all the social media, try Internet Marketing Images.
This is Sonny Clark telling you to stop on by Internet Marketing Images on the web at www.4imi.com or give them a call toll free 877-469-9322.
The heat is on. New Nissans have been reallocated to the fastest growing Nissan dealership in North Texas. That's us. Nissan of McKinney. But maybe you're asking, why Nissan of McKinney? It's because we have selection. Some might even say the biggest, with over 1,000 to choose from. Plus, we've got perks. Get 2 years free maintenance on any new Nissan, and discounts as high as $14,000. Get Rogues and Altimas for $18,995 or 0% for 60 months. Because if Nissan builds it, we discount it. NissanofMcKinney.com.
We at Ortho Texas are a privilege to be able to take care of people who are sick and unable to get around. And we take them from being unable to ambulate, use their arms, shoulders, and make them functional and whole again. Each day, to take them from a sick, hurt state to one in which they are functional and able to carry out their everyday activities. Each facility has at its disposal an MRI unit, which allows us to rapidly go through advanced imaging on somebody's body part that's been injured. We all have physical therapy right on site with the top-notch therapist in the Metroplex.
When you get away from smartphones and video games and tablets, it's amazing what you can really plug into. Shop the brands you love, plus thousands of items on sale now. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
And welcome back into the Couch Potato Sports Show. I have online our color commentator. I also call him the Eagle Eye because this guy catches a lot more than what I see out on the football field when I'm following the ball and following the play-by-play. It's the Eagle Eye, Bill Cerna. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Sonny, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It is game day as we're getting ready to embark up on another game against the San Angelo Bandits. This is a team where the Revolution, this was the second game of the season for the Revolution. Second game on the road as far as the season was concerned in the regular season. So the Revolution, they were taking on a football team, was actually their first game of the season. So we got them week number one as far as the Bandits. And when I look at the Bandits and I look at this game, some of the things that come to mind, we had some miscues out there as the team was still trying to figure out chemistry and making sure players needed to be where they needed to be. But I remember so vividly this game as they were down at halftime in reality and what this team actually did at halftime talking to each other. Now, I don't know if you went down there with me. I couldn't see you, but we go in sometimes different directions. So, but, I mean, as far as the Revolution in that game, this team had a big-time turnaround as far as I don't want to say turnaround as far as attitude, but it almost seemed like business as usual at halftime.
Yeah, and at halftime, you're right. We were down 30 to 27, which if the final score was actually 42 to 36, so there wasn't much scoring in the second half.
Right.
We talk a lot about the defense and whatnot, and they really struggled in that first half against the Bandits. That was probably the first game where the defense really started coming alive after halftime of that game. So they really stuck it hard in the second half and only gave up 6 points in the second half. So, yeah, definitely a change of momentum in the second half on the defensive side. Offensive side, we kind of slowed down too. We kind of struggled, but we held on enough. You had talked about that game and miscues and stuff. We gave them a lot. And nothing against the Bandits. It was their first game of the season. They were still going to know each other. We had already had a game under our belt. The advantage they had was they were able to see tape on us where we couldn't see anything. But we still had momentum going on numerous times during that game, and we would lose it just like that. So we were fortunate to walk out of there with the win on that game.
Yeah, Bill, and in that game is where we saw the Texas Revolution defense just all of a sudden it started clicking. But when the Revolution this past week at the Allen Event Center took on the Wichita Force, I think they went to yet another level in reality as far as the defensive side of the ball is concerned.
Well, and that's scary for this league because
yeah.
Obviously arena football, you're not it's not defenses you talk about, but to play the way they played, and we even talked about it. I met with Matt and a few other guys after the game, and I said, this defense would be tough in any arena league, including arena football, the IFL. The way they've been playing and the way that they keep progressing each week, it's scary to see how they're going to look at the end of the year, but they're taking good offenses and making them look like it's their first game of the season, because they've actually taken it to another level. You had mentioned how they had grown the week before when they played Amarillo. You know what? They didn't give up a touchdown till towards the end of the third quarter. This game, they were 3-3 after the first quarter and really held them until the second half.
Yeah, and that actually didn't surprise me. I expected a low-scoring game at the beginning of this game, but I expected
right,
10-10, 14-14 maybe, but 3-3, which goes to show and goes to tell you, both of these teams defensively came to play.
They did. And I with the Revolution offense, they really are the ones that stepped up. We expected it from the defenses. We talked about it all week long on these great defenses, and that they had always been a thorn on our side, even when they were the Wild. So the biggest difference was that our offense made the difference in the ball game, because we knew that the defense would be there, and our offense came to life in the second half and really really progressed as the game went on.
Yeah, and as I look at that game, you know, it started off with yet this guy that still gives me nightmares to this day, and I'm talking about McKendrick Harper. This guy, he drives me absolutely crazy, and he did it against Robert Kent as well. He yanked two of them, and the way
twice.
He had those interceptions were unbelievable. Yeah, two times. They weren't just two-handed. One was a one-handed nab where he just raked it out of the air like he did against Avery as the Revolution, or actually the Wranglers, were driving for a game-winning touchdown, and he just, you know, took all the airs out of the sail at that point. And really, that could have been the turning point immediately in the game, and especially after the second interception, that could have been the turning point. I will tell you, and this is just my experience with the Revolution and the last year of the Wranglers, that kind of play, especially the second one, would have probably downed the Revolution / Wranglers at the time, and we would not have seen a good performance out of the football team for the rest of the game.
Yeah, and after that second interception, we came back just a few plays later, and Frankie had an interception. So
yep.
The big names that we had talked about all week long did what was expected. They showed up. They made plays, and they made a difference. The one that didn't make as much of a difference as we expected was Moss on the defensive side for Wichita. The Revolution really put a good game plan against him this game, because they kept him relatively quiet for the whole game. You didn't even mention him all that much all night long. So
only one
really
play where he darn near knocked the cleats out of Darius Fudge, you mm-hmm. know, as he got the handoff. But take away from that, I think I agree with you. We quieted him down, and Harper's going to get what he's going to get. So mm-hmm. as the Revolution play, and if playoffs work off to where the Revolution are going to take on the Force, they're going to have to maybe have a different kind of game plan, maybe quite possibly for Harper at that time. But that's later on in the season, as the Texas Revolution, they're on the road tonight. They're taking on the Bandits. We get to see this team a second time. A couple of different differences from this football team. New head coach is our old head coach. We got Wendell Davis down there taking over the reins with three more games going up against the Bandits. I think it was a great strategic hire down that way. But at the same time, as you take a look at the Bandits have made a change at the quarterback position, and so now they've got some things that they've got to improve on to develop chemistry in order to go up against a good team such as the Revolution here tonight.
Yeah, and there's got a lot of changes. It's been a week of changes, so it's really going to be hard to tell on what the expectations are. We've seen Coach Davis's offense, so we know what he has to bring. Now, with that being said, how much time does he have to prepare a team for this game? You know, obviously, Wendell would love to have a great outcome against the Revolution based on the circumstances, but we play him for the next 2 weeks. So, you know, we might see a different Bandit team tonight that we will see from next Friday, just because of given time for Davis to get into camp and bringing his offense. But, you know, he does bring a winning attitude. You know, I think he's going to have these guys ready to play. I think it's going to be a total different team than what we saw last time we were there. With that being said, I think the Revolution is a totally different team than when we were out there on the second week of the season. So, you know, it's going to be a good game. And as long as we don't give the ball away and don't give the Bandits opportunities, I see the Revolution really enjoying tonight.
When I was looking at the stats for the Texas Revolution, when you read it, it's not necessarily a big deal. But when you say it out loud and think about the indoor game, listen to the stat, and I know you know the stat because you sent them to me. The Revolution are only giving up 20 yards of rushing a game. A game, folks. And now, folks, I don't, you know, you kind of expect maybe 50, in between a really good running team is going to run for 75 yards or more. You know, a good running team is going to run between 50 to 75. A subpar team is going to run the ball from about 35. But the Revolution only give enough 20 yards on per game rushing the football. That just tells you that, first of all, you're not going to run against this football team, and what they're doing is almost like baiting you to throw the football with the defensive backs that are on this football team. With Frankie Solomon Jr., he's got, what, 3 interceptions this season?
Mm-hmm.
They're just almost baiting them to throw the football into our secondary.
Yeah, and to put that in perspective, the worst rushing team in the league is still averaging 50 yards a game.
Yes.
So for us to give up that much, that minimal, and we've held down some great runners. We've talked about there hasn't been one runner that's really controlled our defense. The only one was Josh Floyd. On paper, he had a lot of yards, but those were all on 2 carries, and
right.
His yards came from scrambling. They weren't running plays.
Right.
We had kept him in check. Matter of fact, he had -6 yards in the first half rushing. But 2 rushing plays that averaged about 60 yards on those 2 plays, or a total of 60 yards, showed his numbers to be real well. Other than that, we've been in control the whole time. I think last week we only gave up like 12 yards for the whole game.
Yep. And that's what they would be if Josh Floyd's numbers didn't, you know, overwhelm the stats. I mean, he's got 60 yards on 2 plays. You take those completely out there, teams are only rushing, like you said, the 12 yards a game in reality, or near that number. So, yeah, you're just not rushing out on this football team, and it's one of those. And when you look at what, as far as San Angelo Bandits are concerned, this is a football team that have, you know, they've lost 89 yards rushing the football at one. I mean, now, granted, they've gained 334, but, you know, they lost rushing the football. They've lost 89 yards. So they get a lot of tackles for losses. So I'm expecting that Texas Revolution to be in the backfield almost all game and putting a big time pressure on the quarterback, because when you look at the quarterback, you know, Justin Bailey, he's gone, so now they got Brendan Crawford who has stepped in. I don't know if it's going to be Ty Foster or not, as far as what he did, he actually had a pretty good game as out on the football field. So we'll find out who's going to be the quarterback position. But just to let you know, the Bandits are actually having an open tryout yesterday, on Saturday.
Right.
An open tryout. I wonder if they're going to get – well, no, they can't dress anybody because they have to have their roster set for 48 hours before the game. So, but that just tells you, at this point of the game, the Bandits are having an open tryout. They're looking for talent, and unfortunately, they're just not up there as far as that's concerned. And if I – just don't, when I look at this game, I just expect the defense just to bury this team. Even with Wendell Davis walking in there, they still have to get on the same page. And that doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't happen within 1 week. That might happen within 2, but usually teams, when they're trying to get together and get on the same page, it takes about 3 weeks for everything to start clicking in the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, that... it kind of makes me chuckle about the open tryout in the middle of the season. You don't ever see that in any league. So yeah, that was kind of surprising. So that kind of shows what you're talking about of some of the changes of the guard there in San Angelo and what's going on there. I want to throw back real quick one stat because you know I'm like the Rain Man mind here, and I'm always thinking numbers. If we take
246. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. If you took out, yeah, definitely. If you take out Floyd's 60 yards rushing, we'd be giving up 10 yards a game in rushing.
Wow.
Amazing. Darius Fudge averages almost 5 yards per rush.
Right.
And we're giving up 10 yards as a team per game. So amazing stats when it comes to rushing, which you don't ever see in any league. So definitely a big difference. But back to San Angelo. Yeah, you know what? I talked to Coach Wyman after the game on Saturday night, and the biggest thing that that concerned him, and I even brought it up to him, was the worry of playing down to the competition. Sometimes
yes.
when you go into a game knowing that you there's no reason you should walk out of there without a win, you tend to play down. That is the biggest fear. You got to keep that momentum going because you play up to your competition. We showed that in the last two games where we played two good teams, and we controlled them like we should. And that's the biggest fear is coming to this game is make sure that we don't play down to our competition and make this into a closer game than it needs to be.
Interesting that you say that earlier here in the pregame show that you were not on. I was talking exactly about this. This is a kind of a game where and a team where it's hard to beat a team three times a year, never mind mm-hmm. four that the Revolution get this guy. So, you know, the Revolution, I think, they actually have to make statements for the rest of the season against the teams that they're playing. So the other teams that when it does become the playoff times, so when we get the Law, maybe, when we get the Force, maybe, when we get the Bombers, maybe, or whoever it may be, maybe Amarillo if they moved up and got into the playoffs, we still have to make those statements each and every game against the teams that are, and it's no knock against the other team. They're just really, we're the team to beat in this league. You can say whatever you want about the 5-1 Dodge City Law. If we have a kicker and we make 50% of our kicks, we win that football game. You know, we are the team to beat in this league without question in my mind.
Yeah, and I think we're the team that everybody's watching. Not only do we feel like we're the team, the best team in the league, you don't want to be a team in this league and not feel that way. But I think we're also being watched by every team in this league because of, first of all, the talent we have. And this is something that we had mentioned to you earlier in the season was that that we have all the talent in the world. Our biggest challenge was coaching issues. Just get on the same page. But when you put this talent together and you get them clicking together, and I spent for a couple hours after the game on last Saturday talking to them, and they are like a family. They're really have connected real well. Even the guys coming in, Malik Thompson's a week old, and he already feels like part of the family. So I think they've got something really good here, and everybody's talking about a ring. Everybody wants to bring a championship here to Allen.
Yeah, and I, as I look at the schedule definitely sets up well for the Texas Revolution as they have a game with the Gladiators last game of the year. They have Amarillo two more times, and they got three games here with the Bandits coming up. It sets up well as far as the record is concerned, but you're absolutely right. Playing these teams, you know, I hate to say this, and I'll put it out there. I wish we played the Force again. I wish we played the Bombers again. again. I wish we played the law again, which in turn we don't, and this is the schedule that is set. We don't make the schedules. That's something within the league, so we have no control over that. But I would really rather see some more quality games as we go into the playoffs, because when we get into the playoffs, it's one and done, or you're in the championship. One of the two. And the Revolution, that's why I think they have to bury them. I think that's why they have to play on all cylinders at all times, even if they are blowing out this football team or any football team that they face for the next six games.
Yeah, and with that being said, we need to win out, and we need to have that top seed. And the reason being is that top seed gets you home through the playoff round and the championship round. And one thing that we've seen so far this season is that we definitely have home field advantage. We've been teams, including our preseason game, our average win is by almost 24 points.
Right.
So we are controlling teams at home. We are beating teams like we're supposed to be at home. And we got such a great fan base at home.
Yeah.
We want to be home. We want to share the championship here in our house.
I'm going to tell you right now, could you imagine, even the playoffs and everything, the Texas Revolution, where they have grown this franchise. I want to talk a little bit about that as well. Looking at this franchise and how it's grown, literally came up from our hometown, the Phoenix, you know, out of nowhere. This franchise started with no money. You're starting a franchise with no money. They go ahead first year. We go through the bumps and bruises of year number one, the bumps and bruises of year number two. Now here we are in year number three, where we wanted to be in year number one. However, in these leagues, in this type of league, you don't usually have those successes immediately. It's usually year three, number year four. But what I think has been placed in place right now, as far as the Revolution are concerned, are something that you don't have to worry about the coaching staff come next year. You don't have to worry about, is it going to be the right attitude or the right coach for the job? You know, I mean, first year they get rid of their coach. Second year they get rid of the coach. For crying out loud, even the third year they get rid of the coach, but they got the right guy in. So it seems like this franchise right now, if you look at where they have started to where they are now, they are ready and about ready to just maybe take over indoor football as one of the most talked about teams in indoor football.
And you're absolutely right. We've been with this team since day one,
yep,
that it came into existence. So we've seen all the changes, all the turnover, all the turmoil. And for the first time, it's so promising. We feel so good about it. We feel excited about it. And I know you and I put a lot of time and effort in the team, and we do it because there's a great bunch of guys on this team. There's a great front office management. It's just a fun atmosphere to be around, and I see it continuing and even growing stronger.
Yeah, and this year, I think we're going to be in the playoffs. I think we're going to have a home team. I mean, because one of the things I haven't looked at, and I don't know if you've looked at, you know, the Bombers, they're going to have to face the Force again. They're going to have to face the Law. Those three teams are going to be facing each other for the next 6 weeks in reality.
Mm-hmm.
They have an opportunity for teams to fall down past two losses on the season, whether it's the Law, who only have one loss on the season, or whether it's be the Bombers or the Force as of right now. Like I said, if Amarillo sneaks up in there and tries to get in there and starts playing better. But Amarillo, in order for that to happen, they have to beat us, I mean, a couple
Correct.
Of times more. So if the Revolution handle them, we're really looking at as far as the top four are concerned in this league, would be Dodge City, the Wichita Force, the Salina Bombers, and us as the Revolution. So the league now is beginning to take shape right now as we move into where we are right now. As we've gone through half the games, we're moving into game number 7 of 12 this year. That's also a little bit different for us as well, as we play normally a 14-game season.
Yeah, and you know, that you were just saying, that's three teams from Kansas and this little team from Allen, Texas would be in the playoffs. So
you're
absolutely right. They've got to beat up on each other a little bit more. Now, with that being said, we're two games behind the law because they have a tiebreaker because they did beat us head-to-head, and right now they have one loss. So we would have to see two losses out of them to get get that championship. But with that being said, we just need to keep winning. We've got to win out to even worry about that stuff because one more loss puts us in a tough position.
Yeah, so we definitely three or four spot in reality come the end
absolutely.
Of the season if they don't watch it, because that's one of the things when I was looking at how that was going to work out for the Revolution. You know, winning now, that's why it's important for them not to take the foot up off the gas as they move forward in this last half of the season, because that could be the killer. That could be the thing that ends up going. So I'm just looking at the schedule right now as far as the Dodge City Law are concerned. As we are sitting right here, Dodge City has Omaha this weekend. They have the Omaha Beef this week. And then up on April 25th, they get Amarillo. That's going to be a tough game away. That's going to be in Amarillo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then they got a game.
That's a tough place to play.
Yeah, and then they got a game in Wichita. So two tough road games, and they got home games against the Bombers after that and the Bandits. And you can say what you want about the Bandits. They're going to come to play regardless of what they're – so it kind of looks pretty good as far as Dodge City and their schedule and the way it's working out to where maybe quite possibly they'll slip below and get three losses and maybe end up 9-3 more so than. But at the same time, we got other teams that the Force, we've got the tiebreaker against them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about the Bombers as well, as the Bombers, they move into the rest of this season. And, you know, we look back up on week number one, Bill. That was a game that I think just really hurts us as a team. I mean, obviously, week number one, Kent was getting used to the team. Lots of turnovers in that game. We just weren't gelling. And we're talking about the coaching and stuff like that. But the Bombers, you know, it's not going to be easy for them. They've got the Bandits, and that's not a gimme. I don't care what anybody says. They got to go over there to play Sioux City, and then they got the Force, then they got the Law, then they got the Beef. And the Beef, I don't care if they're 0-1 or 1-9 at that time. They're going to come to play. Then they got the Force again, and depending on where the Bandits are of San Angelo, that's the last game of the year for them. If they come in, they decide Wendell Davis turns that team around. This could be a great top four. It'll be all about positioning for the last part of this season there, Bill.
Yeah, we got five teams jockeying for four spots. So
yep.
It's going to be an exciting second half of the season. And you know, a lot of teams are going to be beating up on each other. These five teams are going to be beating up on each other. But if I was to look at these five teams, I think we have the better opportunity to win out.
Yep.
Unlike the other ones. So,
yeah.
Like I mentioned before, just us that needs to, do what's expected. Just keep moving forward and taking one game at a time and focus on the game we're at and not play down to our competition.
An 8-game winning streak wins us the championship. So that's what is got to be the goal of the Texas Revolution. If they drop one, they better hope some of the other teams do. What I want to see is the championship game at the Allen Event Center. That's what
absolutely.
I want to see. I think we could probably get one of those playoff games at home. I would love to at least see that. But it's going to be good. Anything else before we're out of here, Bill, and get ready for kickoff?
No. I'm excited for a fun and great game tonight. And, hopefully drive home tomorrow with another win.
Definitely. So that's going to do it for us here, as we're going to get set here for kickoff here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. It is the Texas Revolution on the road, taking on the San Angelo Bandits on the Couch Potato Sports Show. We'll be right back.